Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, I was hoping we were going to pass that bottle to Mike this morning, but he's feeling fine, just got no voice. But I'm here, Chef Stuart Rev Donald. You can call me Stu. Everybody does, whether I like it or not. So go ahead and do it. And you know, Leanna is here. She's back this
week. Good morning.
Did you have a lovely Valentine's Day last week?
I did.
Good, good. Yes. I figured that's why you weren't here. Y'all was doing the lovey-dovey stuff, and that's fantastic.
I got to sleep in on a Sunday.
Yeah, that it's odd. Whenever Mike and I get to sleep in on a Sunday, it usually involves a hospital stay.
Oh.
So. Yeah, I say that, but Mike slept in a couple times in the last few months.
A couple.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5. We got a lot to get to today. I'm very excited. In the second segment, we're going to play an interview that I did on Friday down in Orange Beach at a restaurant called Fresh Off the Boat. It was a double whammy, Leanna.
Yes.
Lauren Murphy had sent me an invitation. She was playing there Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I have been trying to interview these guys ever since they opened. They opened this restaurant in the middle of the pandemic.
Ooh.
In the middle of the quarantine in Gulf Shores or Orange Beach.
I'm sure that was hard.
Yeah, and we're going to hear about that in the next segment because I recorded the interview there at the restaurant. And, I mean, it worked out great. And you'll hear it at the end of the interview. Lauren is why we have to end the interview because it was time for her to come on. And it was perfect because the guys had a meeting. But we're going to listen to that interview in the next segment. And for those you don't know, Fresh Off the Boat is in San Roque Cay there in Orange Beach. It used to be Salt. Before that, it was Gardetto's. It was an Italian restaurant with a name that starts with a G and ends with a vowel. So,
well, that describes a lot of Italian restaurants.
Exactly. But this is now three restaurants down the road, so who cares? it was a beautiful space, a great day. The sun was shining. All my friends up in Nashville posting all these pictures of the feet of snow pouring outside their houses. And one of them, my good friend Danielle, who I went to Belmont University with, she's from Fort Lauderdale. And she posted something that was a picture of one of the beaches down in Florida that said, okay, I love the snow, but I need some of this. So I walked across the street when I left and went to the Gulf, the restaurant Gulf, and just took pictures and said, hey, Danielle, I got you something. She's like, okay, that's not nice. No, I'm trying to remind you what's waiting just a few weeks down the road.
Yeah.
So and it was a stunning day. I hung around Orange Beach just long enough at the wharf to catch the sunset over the yachts back there. I got some great pictures that are on my Instagram page, on my Facebook page, and you may see them pop up on the Sip and Chew page, facebook.com/sipandchew. We're going to pile through this real quick, so let me go ahead and get to Best of the Verst.
Yes.
Are you ready? We're going healthy today, folks. Yikes.
Ooh, healthy.
Yeah. That's three. That's one. You know how this works. We're doing turkey sausage today.
Okay.
So we're getting healthy. The main draw of the turkey sausage for people who eat it, and I do, I'm a fan of it, is that it's about half the fat of a pork or beef-based sausage. And it tastes much better than any chicken-based sausage. So is that number one you got there? There's two of them in there because I wasn't sure if Mikey was going to make it. But you're welcome to both of them.
Well, of course I'm going to eat them.
Jeez.
Okay, so I have number one.
Okay, she's sampling number one.
It's very smoky smelling.
Okay.
I do like that.
All right.
It has like a bologna texture.
Mm-hmm. And
a lot of turkey
right.
sausage has.
Yeah, and that's because the muscle fibers in the poultry are not as resilient as like beef or pork. So they tend to just almost mush when you put them through the grinder.
But you know what?
What?
It doesn't taste like turkey. I mean, it kind of does a little bit.
And that's the great thing of the turkey. The dark meat, if it's treated right, will taste a lot like pork. I used to do, when I was chef at Mars Hill Cafe, we got in a smoked turkey breast for our sandwiches that Sysco sells. It's their own brand, Block and Barrel, I believe. And people thought it was ham. It was so good. And Kevin Brooks, a good friend of mine, a good chef, he was next to us at an event, and he tasted it, and he was like, "What is that?" And I said, "That is Sysco's own smoked turkey." He goes, "That is the best smoked turkey I've ever had." And people loved it. Just wait.
Oh, that's really good.
Now, these are all national brands. There's that I have found, no one locally is doing turkey sausage. It's not a big thing except for people that want to eat healthier or in the state of Texas, where they smoke everything. And turkey is a big part of what they smoke, and some of them do a turkey sausage. Okay. Now you go.
Well, that was really good. That really has a like a kind of bite to it at the end.
Maybe a little heat from
it does kind of taste like ham. I mean, I would mistake that for ham.
Yeah. But you wouldn't mistake that for a pork sausage, would you?
No.
No. But it's a decent substitute if you're on a diet.
Right.
Yeah, because I've had a lot of chicken sausage, and most of it's just weird.
You pan fry these?
Yeah.
Because they all have a great smoke smell.
Yeah, and I'm sure that is going to be an additive for the smoke.
Maybe some liquid smoke.
Yeah, which is exactly what the name infers, by the way. Like liquid smoke brand, it's a neat thing. They put charcoal in a distiller like you're making alcohol with a pan of ice. So as the smoke goes up, the water condensates, collects the smoke, and then they distill it right back down, and it is the water with the actual smoke in it.
I love using liquid
smoke. It is a wonderful thing if you don't have actual smoke to use. It doesn't take the place of actual smoke.
Number two is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Konecka doesn't make one of these, do they?
No. No, neither does Halls. Hey, Deborah, there's your thought. There you go.
Oh, that one's really good. Still has the consistency of like bologna. But this one is a little bit rougher texture to it.
A little coarser. Yeah. And that's good when you get that. Like I say, it's almost impossible to do that with chicken.
Right.
The times that I've made chicken sausage and you use the thigh make to make the chicken sausage, because I mean, the breast meat, you can make a chicken sausage with that, but it's just not going to be good.
It has more spices like a sausage, though. Like sage.
Yeah, and that's why you're not getting that bologna-like flavor from it either.
Right.
And while you're doing that, Jim in Georgetown says, had the blueberry sausage from the little butcher shop on the grill yesterday. Totally excellent. Almost like it had a blueberry barbecue sauce on it.
Oh, I have talked about that to all my friends. The blueberry sausage. I need some.
Well,
I'm going to have to go to Mississippi.
Or Rouse's.
Oh, it's sold in Rouse's.
Yeah, I'm not sure where else they have. I'm going to try and get them on because they've been watching what we've been doing because they're just kicking off. And
please bring samples.
It's a COVID time. They're probably just going to have to call in. But honestly, Hattiesburg, a great weekend trip for y'all. It's not a far drive. That zoo they have is fantastic. It's a college town, so there's plenty of places to go out that are creative. And the two trips that we made in the last year, I have been thoroughly impressed with what Hattiesburg, Mississippi is now. It is great for a couple just getting a quick little getaway.
Yeah, we have been talking about getting in a getaway. And my fiance wants to go to – there apparently is a what is that place?
I don't know.
Catfish House.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Jackson, he wants to go to.
Jackson, Mississippi?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I know the one's got a great big catfish out on the road when you're going up 49. It looks like a UFO. And then there's another one outside of there that's supposed to be better than that, but that's the one that comes to mind.
Okay.
So is this number three?
He's wanting to go.
Yeah, yes. I have heard great things.
It has a like green onion smell to it.
Let's see what you think.
Again, that's coarser.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Okay. We have only tried two brands today.
Okay.
We have tried Oscar Mayer and Butterball, a company that's known for doing turkey. Number one and number three are both Oscar Mayer.
Mm.
Number two was the Butterball.
Okay.
Number one was their standard smoked sausage. The one you're eating now, and the one I think is by far the best, is their natural, with no nitrates, low sodium, all of that. That one's actually healthier than the other two, and it is the best
really?
Sausage.
Really? It tastes the best.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're about to go to break. When we come back, we're going to listen to our interview with Fresh Off the Boat.
Get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, this is Stu, and I am in Orange Beach, Alabama, the OBA, OBA, if you will. And I am on this beautiful body of water looking at these boats at a great restaurant called Fresh Off the Boat. And I got my buddies here, Jer.
And Buster.
And Buster. I didn't know. I was like, which name is he going to go by, Buster?
They always call him Buster.
Yeah,
Buster.
Everybody calls me Buster.
And I wanted to have Jer on earlier this summer when all of this coronavirus stuff started. And it didn't work out because all this corona stuff started. These guys started this restaurant in the middle of the pandemic.
That's right.
The first thing is, what were you thinking?
Well, in October of 2019, we obviously had known nothing about coronavirus, so that's kind of when we started working on this. And come February, as we were finishing up our remodel, and you know, there's all these talks about the coronavirus, and we had just said, hey, let's slow this down because I think there's some bad stuff coming, and which we're really happy that we did that, but it. We finally got open June 2nd, which is a long time of waiting to open.
And it went okay, I guess. It wasn't the crush of people here that you were expecting, or was it more than you were expecting? Because I understand it got ridiculously busy down here this summer.
It did. And, you know, I think opening under the 50% capacity and with all the regulations and rules from COVID, it really served as a positive thing for us because we were able to get our staff trained, our kitchen trained, you know, everything that goes into opening a brand new business. We were able to focus on those details and make the guest experience better.
So basically what you've had is 6 or 7 months of soft opening?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you know, it's one of the things that I'm noticing in our industry as a whole is great at rolling with the punches, is that everyone is sitting back and being inventive and looking at ways and looking at the bright side of this. And you bring up a great one, Buster, in that, well, it gave you a chance to get everyone trained without y'all being absolutely crushed. Because I imagine a lot of restaurants around here had some great menus, some great concepts, and weren't ready for those first 2 or 3 days they were open, and it killed them.
Well, I mean, our goal was to open in April, which obviously wasn't going to happen, being that the whole world was shut down in April.
Right.
So the earliest that we could have gotten open was June. Well, there were so many people down here in June. I mean, restaurants and places down here at the beach have had record years because this is a safe place to be. You can be out there spaced apart, right, safely on a boat, and it just, everyone was down here at the beach. So when we opened, we didn't do any marketing. We made one Facebook post for about a month saying, hey, we're open, kind of in the back, like just people started slowly walking in. And you know, we've done a great job with grassroots marketing, and I think that's let us develop a fantastic customer base that's extremely loyal.
Yeah, there lots of regulars or
lots of locals, right?
Yes.
Locals or condo owners,
people that are here regularly. It's
absolutely
not just a one done vacation.
Right.
What is this body of water we're in, by the way?
So this is St. John's Bayou.
Okay.
So that goes all the way down to 161 where you saw the battle wagon after Hurricane Sally, by the way. Remember that, too. It's been an interesting opening year, to say the least.
Yeah.
But we're right here, right about a half a mile, quarter mile from the pass. Kind of across the street from the beach. We're on the north side in the San Roque Cay area.
All right. And this used to be Salt, correct?
It was.
And before that, it was
Grazzi.
Grazzi, yeah. So it's had some good places here, and y'all are in here continuing the tradition. And hopefully I'm going to taste some of this. Now, for the listeners, you're called fresh off the boat. Do you do any seafood?
Maybe one or two.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking. You said you hadn't been able to get the triggerfish tacos.
Trigger's been an odd thing post-coronavirus. Yeah. About 5 months ago, we've had it on our food truck, which is called Beach and Eats, for the past three, 4 years. But 5 months ago, triggerfish kind of dried up. So we've pivoted to redfish, which is another great local fish.
Yeah. And I see beach and shrimp tacos. Those, y'all pretty good with the shrimp tacos, right?
Oh, man. They are one of our top sellers.
All that shrimp comes out of Bayou La Batterie.
There we go. Yeah, that's the good stuff. A Gulf shrimp sandwich. Is this po' boy style or is it on?
It's not. It's actually done on a brioche bun.
Okay.
We do it with our house sauce. It's our beach and sauce. It's a little bit sweet, a little bit spicy, a little tangy. It complements the sandwich really well. Arugula, pickled red onions.
House made pickled red onions on everything.
Everything.
Yeah, I will never complain about that. And then I see some of the standards that people expect, the shrimp and grits.
Yeah.
No matter how many times you tell them, hey, it's not a Gulf Coast dish, they come to the Gulf Coast, they expect to see it.
So yeah. Right.
You give them what they want. And it's not a bad dish.
I mean, I think it's awesome. Has it been here long enough that it's a Gulf Coast dish now?
Yeah, I guess so. Especially I see Kaneka sausage sofrito, so it's getting Gulf Coast. I grew up with fish and grits.
Okay.
And most people in this part of the country did. Shrimp and grits actually comes from Georgia, the Carolinas. The Gullah people started it. And it looks and tastes like something we should have come up with. And if you look at the history of the Gullah people, they were influenced by the Haitian Creoles. So now it all makes sense.
Right, because it's all the same stuff from there to Louisiana, right?
Right. The pecan-crusted redfish, that sounds terrific.
It's nice. It's got the buttery flavor of the pecans and stuff, and then we top it with that the peach pineapple chutney. So it's got this sweet, buttery, salty kind of combination. I really enjoy that dish, and then that's coming over grits too. Our grits are on point. You're gonna have to try some of them.
Okay, I don't mind. Jerk yellowfin tuna, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff on here, and then for the non-seafood eaters, I see Cajun Alfredo.
Yeah.
That's so your teenage girl is taken care of.
We even do a non-seafood gumbo with duck confit and Kaneka sausage.
A hunter's gumbo, the sausage and the duck.
That's right.
I had a friend who swore no way gumbo could be good without seafood. So I hit some friends up. I got some wild duck and some wild venison sausage and had them over for a duck and sausage like that and ordered some duck stock. We were just talking about it earlier.
Demi.
Yeah. It was a duck stock demi from Amazon to build my stock off of. And he was like, okay, I was wrong. So, yes, if you're doing duck confit and sausage gumbo, that's a fantastic gumbo. And since you had the duck confit, I saw the tacos on here.
Yeah.
Look at there, red onion jam.
Yeah, red onion jam.
The pickled red onions, chipotle crema. Guys, this is a fantastic looking menu.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful restaurant. I understand Jer's supplied one of the decorations out there on the wall.
He did, yes. There's a, how much rope is out there?
No, the 9-foot sailfish.
Oh, yeah.
Cotton combo.
that sailfish is quite impressive. He showed it to me when he unpacked it out of the box, and I'm like, all right, where are we putting this sucker?
That thing sat, I caught that thing in 2007, and it sat in a box, because I don't know if you know this, a 9-foot long sailfish on your wall is gigantic, and I've never lived anywhere that I could fit it on the wall. So we bought a house down here 2 years ago, and I finally found a spot on the wall to put it. And then we opened this, and I was like, it's got to go there on the wall.
It was meant to be.
It catches your eye as soon as it comes in. That's why I posted pictures on our Instagram page for the show.
Just, yeah.
So if you're listening, go look at our Instagram page. Sip and Chew Instagram. You know how it goes. Y'all got social media?
Yep. So we're freshoba.com is our website.
Okay.
We're facebook.com/freshoba. And then you can find our food truck, Beach and Eats, or our bar outside. We've got a courtyard bar called Sandbar Courtyard on Facebook. And we kind of got a lot of things going on. We also, live music is kind of a big part of what we do down here. Your friend Lauren Murphy's playing today.
Yeah, she is. And
probably be able to hear her in just a few minutes.
Yeah, she's your friend too, so let everybody know that you know her.
She's my friend too.
Yeah.
Our friend, I guess I should have said. Yeah. I don't know why I said your friend.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lauren.
Yeah. So what are your hours of operation right now, and what do you see them changing to in the season, if there is one?
Sure. So right now we're doing lunch and dinner service. Open the doors at 11 o'clock until, air quotes, with it being off season, you never can tell what what the level of business is going to be like. But once summer hits, we'll be officially 11 to 10. But if we're on a wait, we're going to serve everybody until the wait is clear.
Yep.
That's fantastic. And you're 7 days a week, right?
Seven days a week.
Do you ever get an off day?
No.
Okay.
Chair, can you help Lauren with the VA for a second?
All right, guys. You hear it. Jer's got to get back. Come down here, check out Fresh Off the Boat. See Jer, see Buster, see the big fish hanging on the wall.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, thank you, guys. And now back to more live Sip and Chew.
Well, and there's the music. Perfect timing. All right, folks, we'll be right back. 343-0106. You want to get in on the conversation?
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And we are back with some live Sip and Chew. That got very loud.
Sorry.
All right. I don't know what happened on air, but in our headphones, it got very loud, Jerry, just a second.
There we go.
Anyway, while we were on break, we were talking with Bill Finch, who does the show that follows us. Coastal Gardening, Gulf Coast Gardening. I always forget the name.
Plain Gardening.
Plain Gardening
on the Gulf Coast.
That's it. Okay, so I got most of the words.
You're trying.
And we were talking about my hiking trip up to Bankhead National Forest last week. And we were talking about the biodiversity there and what a beautiful area it was. And Bill, you know how he is. He just drops this little nugget right before we get off the phone. Oh, yeah, Alabama is the center for all cave life in North America.
Yes. Ooh.
I didn't know that our caves were this fascinating here. The only one I thought that was really fascinating in our state was the one that has a dive bar in it. You know? What is that, Rattlesnake Cafe or something like that? It's built in a cave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, I understand the food is nothing to get excited about, but it is a very cool place.
I'm sure it's a small space to cook in.
Oh, no. It's a big cave.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The seating's probably 200 or 300 people.
Oh, wow.
And because a lot of it's outdoors. I mean, there's no building here at all.
Yeah.
From what I could tell, maybe some roofage, but I digress. We're talking about a place that neither one of us has been. So, Chris Sherrill went to it, and he told me it was a very cool place.
Hmm.
And I had seen it on YouTube, because, you know, that's one of those places that comes up when you're doing any kind of travel search. The most unique bar in every state kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Like I said, and I think bikers enjoy going up there, you know, and not, you know, Hell's Angels, but lawyers who dress like Hell's Angels on the weekend bikers. The good folks. The folks that eat at Bob's Downtown Diner and do all the bike nights down there with Tony Sawyer and his folks.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's probably a destination. I love that aspect of that bike culture is just get on the open road and go and do something. And
a brotherhood.
I think that is fascinating. I don't have a motorcycle. I've never ridden one as the driver.
Oh,
I've been on the back seat a few times. I tried to ride a mini bike a few times, and that just turned into a mini bike skidding across the yard while I stood there.
Yeah.
because it got away. I wouldn't pick my feet up, so it went and I stood there. But I find that fascinating, and they always seem to be the best people.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. I grew up, my dad rode motorcycles and mm-hmm. had a little group, and so it was a lot of, you know, like family life mm-hmm. type things. We would go and do things, mm-hmm. go to yeah. different beaches, you know, anything that the Gulf Coast offered.
Right. And it's a great way to do things. The problem with it is people in cars that yes. don't pay any attention. And there's probably one out of every 1,000 accidents between a car and a motorcycle that's mm-hmm. the motorcyclist's fault. I mean, it is that drastic.
Yeah, be aware.
And it's because people don't notice. It used to be statistically, too, and it's not like this anymore, but for the longest time, 95% of all accidents between a car and a motorcycle, the car was driven by a woman.
What?
And I figured out what the deal was.
Okay.
Dudes, especially 60s, 70s, 80s, 50s, when that stat was accurate,
uh-huh.
were interested in motors. Women were not. Well, now women have become very interested in motorcycles. I know a lot of women have their own Harley
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So that has brought that statistic back in to check. But it used to be, you know, my dad was in law enforcement, and he said it's just simply guys notice a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Because they think it's cool. Women never noticed it because they had kids and stuff, and they were dealing with that. Now that women are into it, and it's not a gender thing, really. It was... this section of the population is into it. This section isn't.
Yeah.
And it just happened to fall on a gender line most of the times, but it's not always, because there's lots of guys that don't care about motors and cars and stuff like that. They're also hitting motorcyclists because they weren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't come down to anything other than you got to pay attention to everything on the road. I do that because I travel a lot. All right. We have a caller. Let's see who this caller might be.
Panini Pete.
I know this guy.
Good morning.
Morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Hey,
how y'all doing?
We're doing all right. Hey, man, I'm gonna come see your folks, Cherie and everybody at Ed's when I get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Breakfast is so awesome there, huh?
Yeah,
I appreciate your support, baby.
Hey, she talked me into getting the chicken and gravy over biscuit last week. Because you know me, I'm going catfish and grits.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I was very happy with that decision.
I saw the pictures. Good. It looked delicious.
Is it a deconstructed biscuit? Was that was that the presentation that I got?
Well, I mean, for you, yeah, we do have to up our game when Sip and Chew's in the house. When Stuart's in there, they go, okay, let's fancy this up a little bit. That's molecular gastronomy Ed style, deconstructed biscuit.
You had something new that you had been showing off all over social media, and I thought, let's get you on air and let's talk about it.
Okay, yeah, you know, and it was kind of a teaser, mm-hmm. but it's gotten some a lot
legs.
Of attention. So I have been working on and formulating a beignet mix for retail, you know, for the famous beignets.
Mm-hmm.
So we are ready to go to market within the next couple of weeks. And I just thought I'd click up a pic, and, you know, lo and behold, it was been a lot of buzz. I hope I actually sell as many as people say they're going to buy.
Oh, I'll definitely buy.
Market that stuff for Christmas, buddy. For gifts,
yeah.
Do gift baskets,
you know,
and stuff.
Yeah,
we
tried to get it out before the holidays, because that is an amazing time. But I just, you know, it was low on the priority list.
Right.
With this stuff going on with the pandemic's been crazy and all that. But
you got restaurants and barber shops and hippie villages for culinary people going on. A little commune you got over there in Baldwin County going on for your hipsters.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely staying busy. It's been an eventful year. But, you know, we've been very fortunate down here, as you guys know. I have a lot of friends around the country that have had a real, real rough time
right.
with it.
Yes.
And we've been lucky down here. We've been able to stay open and do some business.
Yeah. And that, you know, that seems to be the thing, is the people who have found a way to stay open are doing fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people who it's been a struggle to stay open, be it, you know, government interference or you know, just mm-hmm. manipulation of this issue that we've got. Not a manipulation of the people, but, you know, just trying to coast through this thing. It's the ones that have managed to stay open, like you, Sim's House of Pizza out there, Chris Brill. He never lost a dime, Pete. We were so surprised because pizza translates so well to to-go's. The pizza companies, the pizza companies have done great through this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, because their product drive-throughs around that, oh, my God, got busier.
Yeah.
And we're already busy enough.
Right.
Real quick, I want to mention, thanks, you know, about the beignet mix. We'll be coming out soon, and there's a little cool little QR code on there, so you'll be able to zap right to it'll go right to a little video where I'll demonstrate how to cook these.
Oh,
lovely beignets. And, you know, some different variations. You know, we do bacon, egg, and cheese sliders with those. At
chicken and beignet
chicken,
sliders.
You know, kind of chicken waffle variation. You know, it's a chicken slider, chicken beignet slider. And we make bread pudding out of them. So there'll be a lot of fun stuff.
I believe you made a banana nut beignet.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That is so good, Leanna.
You're making me hungry.
That's the job of this show. I don't know if you get this when you
Go
post
get
food
breakfast.
Pictures. But whenever I post them, people will put a comment and goes, you're making me hungry. That's why I posted this. Come
Bingo.
Buy this.
Works every time.
Yeah. Well, buddy, how's the family doing? Y'all doing the whole family getting together now and made it through the holidays and looking towards the future?
We're getting good. The kids, you know, kids are out of town. You know, son's up in Atlanta working. My daughter's up in Birmingham, so we'll be good. Jody's doing good. We're looking forward to spring break, though. Oh, I got a real some fun stuff coming up spring break. Going to Hawaii to do a show with Guy
Excellent.
And the Meth Lords. We're doing a Food Network show out there, a Discovery Plus show.
Hey, dude, when you get out there.
Exciting. I'll have to talk to you about that after we do that.
Yes.
Yeah, and when you get there, man, look up a chef. You probably know him, Ippy Iona. That was on Food Network Star with Marty and Justin, all that.
Yeah, he was down here for Oyster Fest several years.
Yeah, he was a great guy. And he's got three restaurants, I think, on the Big Island, including a Hawaiian barbecue, buddy.
Yeah, I'll track him down for sure. I don't even know. Well, we're going to be at Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
So I'm not sure what. I'll have to get my island savvy knowledge up because I have no idea where we're going. I'll show up, I'll cook, and then. Go to the beach.
Here's the
best. That sounds fun.
The best advice I can get you, and this was from when I worked in the travel industry. Every vowel in a Hawaiian word is pronounced as a syllable. So if you got three vowels in a row, each one of them gets pronounced.
Now you say that as if you think I actually went to school and understand. Like that's supposed to help. Oh my God!
Well,
the grasp of the English language is so weak, so loose.
Well, other than Culinary Institute of America, you had affiliations with another school that I visited last week, up in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You may be familiar with it, but I just
the one you don't root for,
right? But I am also a proud son of the state of Alabama.
Oh, you don't even want to talk about it. You don't want to mention it.
No. I'm fixing to. I just want
He's
you to
jelly.
Know that I had lunch, made a point of having lunch from Taco Casa.
Oh.
And took it to the shadows of Bryant-Denny Stadium and ate in a parking lot out there.
Wow.
It's right after they win a national championship, man. And rivalries aside, I want to see what Tuscaloosa's like. Turned out it was a pretty normal town. Nobody said a word to me about my Auburn jacket, which was very surprising and refreshing. And I was very impressed with my short little lunch in Tuscaloosa. It was very nice.
I think Nick called ahead and gave you a bye. He called
Nick's always got
coming in. He's okay. Let him through.
You got to forgive him.
Looking for.
Yeah, I tried to pop in and see Chris Lilly while I was up there, but you know, this COVID, the hours. It was a Super Bowl weekend. They ran out of everything 2 hours before close.
Wow.
And so, you know, I ended up at Steakout, buddy. Got a burger from Steakout. You've probably eaten it some up there. Those from down in Mobile, we only had the one, but that's the best food you'll ever have delivered to your house. Steaks,
yeah, I mean,
burgers.
I remember
chicken.
When they started up in Huntsville, mm-hmm. I believe. And man, that was a good little outfit. They were ahead of their time.
Yeah, I will tell you, because I worked for them, what happened was Western Sizzlin was looking to go bankrupt and bought another company to help them get over the line.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so there are still a few left up in North Alabama, but the company as a whole got bought just so somebody could go, oh, now we got too much debt. Let us get out of it.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask, now that Mardi Gras is over and the Moon Pie Bushwhackers are probably moving on, is there something for St. Patrick's Day?
You know, I can't reveal that yet. We are working on some good ones. I mean, when you think about, like, Bailey's Irish Cream and things along, I can give, you know, Irish Whiskey, where there's some little hints I can give you. But we're always, you know, playing around with some seasonal stuff there. And what we do, our core menu of signature Bushwhackers at Ed's is really good, too, because we do a red velvet, we do a peach, we do some really, really awesome flavors.
I love the red velvet. Bit,
like what we do in the kitchen, you know, you take these classic dishes and you kind of add some twists and turns, and next thing you know, you got some neat little unique items. So they have been selling like crazy.
Yeah. Me and Sean came over to do midday, and I used the excuse of doing the Facebook Live, and we got to have Bushwhackers on.
Oh, I mean, so we sipped. That's right. I remember we ran out. It felt, I felt like Chris Lilly on Super Bowl Sunday.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you calling in and telling us all the things going on with Pamini Pete Enterprises.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be looking to keep you posted. I got a book getting ready to drop pretty soon, too, so that'll be fun.
Excellent. Posted on that. By all means, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right, Pamini Pete folks, Sip and Chew, 343-0106. Holler at us. It's up
to you. To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right. Well, that was a great interview, great visit with our pal Pamini Pete Blome.
Now I want breakfast.
Well, I'm fitting to have me some breakfast and seafood. I'll see you, Cherie. I went there last week after the show for breakfast. I think that's my new breakfast thing right now. I'll mix it up and throw in some Bob's Downtown Diner, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really just enjoying looking at the water right now.
Yeah.
And my gal, Cherie, gives me the best service. You would love her.
Nice.
Most beautiful pink hair you've ever seen.
Oh.
Just the brightest smile. Last week, you know, it was Valentine's. I go in there, look up, pink eyeshadow with glitter.
Oh.
She was just adorable. She gives the best service, and she's just adorable. So when you go to Ed's, ask for Cherie.
Mm-hmm.
She's always there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah, I have a friend that works there. Yeah. She's a bartender named Michelle. Mm-hmm. We did a roller derby.
Oh.
Years and years ago.
I didn't know you did that. I'm not surprised. One of my best friends from when I worked at the Hertz Corporation is the coach or manager, whatever it's called, for the Oklahoma City Professional Roller Derby team. Ooh. They go all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was one of the players, team members, whatever you call it.
Well, I was just the announcer, and I couldn't do that. I would hurt myself. I'm very clumsy, and so I wouldn't be able to roller skate and do that. But I had a lot of fun announcing and torturing the other teams.
Well, it is a great place. I found a new barbecue place, new to me.
Yeah.
Apparently, after I start posting about it, it pops up in Sip and Chew. We've talked about this barbecue place before. I think it was while I was, you know, dead. And Mike was handling the show, but Mike had stopped in a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's in Loosedale. Okay. It's about a half mile past the vet that I've been using, but I never go past the vet.
Yeah.
And I had just decided I took Bug for one last checkup. She's had a little thyroid issue. They've been getting dialed in. And I said, I'm going to take a different route back this time than just 98 all the way back, because I've seen it a million times in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
So I dial up a back roads route. And I thought, well, I might as well get something to eat, barbecue near me. And this thing was 0.6 miles from the vet on the same road across the street. I just had to go around a couple curves. It's called Hokie's Barbecue and Grill.
Hokie's?
It is a log cabin.
Oh.
And it is what a barbecue joint should look like. You go in and it's, you know, log cabin design on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of corrugated tin everywhere. Some dead critters' heads up on the wall, and was really good. The service was great, and It was stunning as you walk into a barbecue joint in Lucedale, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
You expect, you know, some good old little Southern girls up in there and everything. This entire staff looked like models.
Oh.
And lucky for me, the one that waited on me, one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
A beautiful redheaded lady and just a Swedish and an accent like honey.
Oh. Just dripped off her tongue.
Yeah, just as sweet as she could be. And it looked like it was family. That's probably why everyone was of equal striking beauty when you walk in the door. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you got a family of beautiful people and they all work there. It just looks like you went to Hollywood and got a bunch of models to work there. But it was very great. I can't wait to go back to the vet again.
Hokies.
Yeah, Hokies Barbecue and Grill.
What road's that on?
Highway 26.
Okay.
The one that takes you to Wiggins.
Yeah, I know where that is.
It's probably got a street name. I've just always known it as Highway 26.
Yeah.
That was most of my travel route when I went to college. When I left Sims, go 98, get in Lucedale, make a few turns, get on 26, and then you're in Wiggins an hour later. So I'm familiar with the route, although past Hokies, I haven't been down 26 towards Wiggins in 20 years, probably. When I met with Carl Tilley last week, who in Gadsden, and he said that he drove through about 10 years Perkinston, Mississippi, which is where our school was, Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, Perk. But he said, you wouldn't recognize it. He said, I didn't know where the school was. I didn't know where any of the roads were. He said, there's so much development on 49 now because Perkinston was, there's a university, a college, there's a gas station, and a post office. And that was Perkinston.
One red light type place?
One red light. Actually, a four-way stop sign. And then you would get up on 49, which is, you know, 500-600 yards away. And there was one gas station up there.
Yeah.
And that was it. And he said, now you can't find the exit. There's so much development next to it.
Wow.
So I guess that's the next road trip. Go ride around old stomping grounds in Stone County, Mississippi. Mississippi. Nice. I pronounced it wrong. But, yeah, if you're going to be in that Lucedale area, and I'm really exploring it because, like, yesterday I went to my brother's house to celebrate my nephew of mine's birthday area coming up. I live in Grand Bay. I went by the veterinary clinic that we had Molly fixed in when I was still recovering because that's Stephen Muriel's.
Yeah.
Pet clinic. And the reason I chose Singing River in Lucedale is even though Grand Bay's in the same county, Lucedale's 15 minutes closer to me.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to explore Lucedale a little bit. It's not in a pandemic thing. Small towns, much better off if you want to visit. And that's why I've been doing a lot of that. I avoided Birmingham completely on my little trip and only hit Montgomery because I visited a friend in Prattville and was headed straight to Mobile. And I went, I'm just taking 65 home.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a straight shot. There was no more sightseeing at that point. Bug was ready to be home.
Yeah.
Now,
Bug didn't enjoy that big old bed in the hotel room.
That she
enjoyed. I love that picture.
Yeah, she had to have the king-size bed to herself for a while.
Of course.
Because a mile and a half hike for me, even though, you know, the incline at the end of the 177-foot climb, my legs were feeling it the next day.
Yeah.
I didn't think what that's going to do to a 6-pound dog.
Yeah.
So that was running a marathon for her.
Right.
So I tried to carry her most of the place. I mean, she's still a dog and she wants to run.
Yeah.
So I let her, but I could tell she was tuckered. The drive home, she just slept.
Oh.
But she had a great day. And I won't take her to another place like that again. I'll take her on day hikes. Molly's the one I want to take up there, the big 60-pounder, so that if a bear comes up, she's got enough bark. And dogs are great protection against bears because of their bark. It hurts ears. Look at that. Show's over, y'all.
That was a quick hour.
We got to take a nap through 20 minutes. Folks, get out there. These people are working, and they're risking their lives to feed you. So take care of them. Be patient. Be nice. And tip a little extra. And definitely, above all else, provolone.